become this collection of little splotches that fill the screen. And suddenly you realize the perspective you are holding. In one of those many tiny blurs, inside of a tiny little dot, inside of a tiny little dot, there is a planet that we call home that moments ago filled the screen. And suddenly you recognize the depth of creation. You know, it's not just that Earth filled the screen, that tiny dot inside of a dot inside of a blur surrounded by those other blurs. Well, that's the entire world we know, at least through our own lived experience. And if we're honest, most of us have only experienced a tiny little piece of that giant world that we live in. Think about the percentage of it that we've actually walked on individually. Here's our tiny little space on our tiny little space in the greatness of space. It's helpful every so often to be reminded of our place in the universe, because we can lose sight of where we are. This tiny little patch of dirt on a planet spinning around a star in a galaxy filled with them that is simply one of countless galaxies extending out into infinity. When I look at your skies, at what your hands have made, the moon and the stars that you, O God, have set firmly in place, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you even pay attention to us? These are the words of the psalmist. Words I can only assume were written as the author laid back, staring into space with no idea of how big creation really is, yet sensing that we as people aren't as big a part of it as we like to think we are. This is one of those moments where I'm aware that being human is to live in a constant state of competing realities. In one reality, we are but tiny specks in the infinite sea of the universe. And in another, concurrently existing reality, we as human beings are one of the most earth-shaping forces the planet has ever known. And we're both at the same time. We really do carry so much power as people. I mean, the last time the Earth experienced so much change at one time, it took an intergalactic piece of rock the size of Texas hurling through space at incomprehensible speed and force. And yet here we are, shaping and changing everything. We are so significant and so insignificant at the same time. In a letter he addressed to every living person on the planet, Pope Francis spends a little bit of his book, this letter he wrote, reflecting on the human roots of the problems that face our common home. He ties together a collection of realities that showcase how humanity is making choices that are irreparable for the health of our planet. Now, he doesn't get into minutiae. This is not a list of things like, your hairspray in the 80s wore a hole in the ozone. This is not, you know, your underinflated tires are undercutting your potential gas mileage. He doesn't get lost in those kinds of minutiae as the human roots of our problem. While those things may exist, the human roots of our problems have a bigger theme. And it comes back to this perspective. When we cannot see ourselves interdependently woven into a larger creation, that's a problem. When we see technology-driven increases in power and potential as unquestioned progress, that's a problem. A problem with what it means to see ourselves as human. And when it comes to how people in the Western Hemisphere understand what it means to be human, religion, especially Christianity, has had a lot to do with the last couple millennia of that problem. What I love about Pope Francis's work is that he actually takes some time to name the church's accountability. And when I say church, I'm talking capital C church. I'm not saying just the Catholic folks here. I'm talking about what it means to be people who follow Jesus throughout the ages. Hear the Pope's words. An inadequate presentation of Christian anthropology. Now that would be how Christians understand what it means to be human. An inadequate presentation of Christian anthropology gave rise to a wrong understanding of the relationship between human beings and the world. Often what was handed out was a Promethean vision of mastery over the world, which gave the impression that the protection of nature was something that only the faint-hearted cared about. Instead, our dominion over the universe should be understood more properly in the sense of responsible stewardship. I find it interesting he's willing to name that the Christian tradition made caring for creation a less than trait. Oh, that's cute and quaint. Run along. Go play with your birds. That's honestly what St. Francis was told on a very regular basis. Oh, you're the guy that talks to the animals. Seriously, leave. But this is a problem, a Christian problem. Our scripture has translated words that meant so much more into little ideas like dominion, rule, subdue, mastery. That's how our scriptures talk about the earth, when that was not the intent of the author. Sermons, theologies, and doctrines throughout our history as Christian people announced the discovery of resources as a divine blessing upon a chosen people. Ah, yes, this land and all that it contains, God has given for us to use how we want. That's not what the people who were already living here thought about it. We thought ourselves to be the center of the universe, literally for a while, and still metaphorically, we cling to that idea. We lose perspective. We took scriptures like the psalm that I shared that portion of, and we focused on the wrong parts of them. I want to share with you Psalm 8 in its entirety. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have made your glory higher than the heavens. From the mouths of babes, you have laid a strong foundation. When I look at your skies and what your fingers have made, the moon and the stars that you set firmly in place, what are human beings that you think about them? What are human beings that you pay attention to us? You have made humanity only slightly less than divine, crowning us with glory and grandeur. You've let us rule over your handiwork, putting everything under our feet. All sheep and all cattle, the wild animals too, the birds and the sky, the fish of the ocean, everything that travels the pathways of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name through all the earth. It's amazing to watch people get hung up on that humanity being only less than the divine. Oh yes, we are crowned with glory and grandeur, ruling over God's handiwork. Well, that's true, a part of our scripture that we have a relationship with all the beauty of God's creation. We far too often forget the wonder and the humility the psalmist includes. The greatness that is expressed is the result of God's love for us, God's mindfulness of us amidst all of the cosmos. We are but a small part. The greatness that is expressed is the result of God's love. And when we understand ourselves to be a part of something bigger, we treat it differently. When we understand ourselves to be divine, glorious rulers of our own merit in doing, well then we are the problem. How we understand ourselves changes the situation our planet faces. You know, there is a moment in every child's life, and it may be more than one moment, but there is at least one moment when every single human being first realizes that some things cannot be fixed, that some choices cannot be undone, that some mistakes can't be unmade. It's a difficult moment to watch as they hold something broken or stare at an effect that they know they were the cause of and realize that it's never going to be the same. It can't be fixed. I actually had a moment like that myself again as an adult when reality punctured the bubble of my ignorance. It was back a few years ago as that BP oil spill was dumping amazing quantities of crude oil right into the ocean, and I was struck by the realization, and it seems so simple, but all of a sudden it occurred to me, humanity is capable of creating problems we can't fix. As they struggled for weeks trying to figure out what to do, there was a moment I thought to myself, what if we can't undo it? That was news to me. I mean, it seems obvious to say it out loud. We've been dealing with these realizations throughout our history, and yet in that moment, it was so real to me. It seems so obvious, but our culture of entrepreneurism and innovation, our society of ego and hubris, doesn't like to bring up the fact that we can create problems we can't fix. There's a wonderful quote from the Pope that says it best, and it's in your bulletin if you want to take it home. There is a tendency to believe that every increase in power means an increase in progress itself, an advance in security, usefulness, welfare, and vigor, as if reality, goodness, and truth automatically flow from technological and economic power as such. The fact is that contemporary humanity has not been trained to use power well. We haven't been trained to use power well. You know, I've come to realize that those who recognize their power, who see what they are capable of, use it with reckless abandon, unconcerned with its consequences. And those who don't recognize their power often squander opportunities that could change everything because they believe that they themselves are not of consequence. We have the power to be of consequence in ways that bring healing to our world. Where we shop, what we buy, what we eat, how we grow, who we vote for, all of these things are within our power. I tell you, when we choose not to shop somewhere or not to buy something, it's especially helpful to let that company or the higher-ups within a structure know why we have chosen not to. Now, I'm aware that buying the most environmentally conscious products is a privilege born of cost. The more of us who can afford it and make that choice, the more we bring the price down due to economy of scale, the more others can join us in that pursuit. I tell you, if you're an omnivore, consider a weekly day without a meat. Meatless Monday is a very effective way to reduce your environmental impact. And even someone who grew up in the Midwest and believes that meat and cheese is the heart of every meal can make that change. You know, in supporting local and family farms, in addition to growing your own garden, supporting local and family farms carries amazing impact on this planet and on other people. The Pope spent some amazing time in this letter talking about the importance of individuals raising food instead of corporations raising food. Or when it comes to politics, research and inquiring about a candidate's environmental track record and then calling their office, visiting their town halls to hold them accountable to the environmental promises they've made is more important now than ever, no matter what letter shows up on their name after a ballot. Mind you, there are more examples than there is time, but I wanted to mention a few that remind us that there are ways we can do things. No matter who we are, no matter where we find ourselves in life, we have the power to affect change. And I want to share with you a story that I absolutely love. It's a Methodist story. The United Methodist Church has a group called Westpath. They're the organization that is our pensions and health benefits office. You actually send them money every single month. A little bit of what you put in the plate goes to my compensation. And that little bit of it goes to that office in Chicago. And they choose what to do with the retirement money for all Methodist clergy. So Mac, your money's sitting there. Mary Beth, yours is. Mine is. And they sit there and they do things with it. So I want you to realize this is your money that has gone to do work. And we use socially responsible investing in everything that we do. So about a decade ago, the United Methodist Church's representatives went to the Walmart board meeting, a company in which we hold stock. It's earning some things for us that we turn around and use to help support our clergy. And they've always had some conversations. Ever since they first bought one single share, they talked about employee care, they talked about responsibility and community. But in 2007, the United Methodist Church showed up, and with a couple other friends who had enough votes to count for something, we looked at the board of directors of Walmart and we said, we want you to do an environmental accountability study every year. And if you want, we have this nice little policy drawn up that we could vote on, or you can do it voluntarily. They chose voluntarily. And so Walmart, a decade ago, began doing an environmental impact study every year. Now here's the thing, when you start producing numbers that show your effect on the environment, you want those numbers to get better the next time you do the report. This is why we do them. So that first year, they said, okay, we got to do some things. And they started looking for the easy ways to make changes. Now, when Walmart makes a change, this is not a little thing. This is a big thing. When you think about the number of stores and the number of places and the number of people, their numbers got a little bit better and they realized it was helping their bottom line too. And before you know it, year after year, the changes started to snowball. At one point, Walmart was really trying to minimize how many trucks they had to have on the roads, because it turns out that uses less gas, which saves money, saves the planet, the whole bit. So Walmart calls up Procter & Gamble and says, hey, some of your packaging is a little excessive. Could we trim it down, make it smaller, so we can fit more stuff in less space and get it places simpler? Well, Procter & Gamble makes like half of the world. I don't know. I was in the shower this morning, looked at, I was like, oh, hey, P&G, there it is, everywhere. They make everything. All their products started to change, and not just in Walmart stores, in all the stores. Well, when Procter & Gamble starts to make a change, so does Unilever, so does Dove, so does everybody. And before you know it, sitting down at that one board meeting, asking for a little bit of accountability, has shaped and changed the retail world for the better over the last decade. The money you put in the offering plate helped make that happen. There's an amazing number of stories like this. Now, yes, that's all the United Methodists working together in that effort, but that's part of the relationship we share. We have the opportunity in our personal lives and in our communal lives to use the power God has given us to change the world. Amen.